Good morning, everyone. We're a little bit behind. We're back on Daf Yud Zayin. Today's Daf is Daf Yud Ches. And today, today's a great day to catch up. You'll see. The Mishnah starts off, Halachal Bikorim, Ajla Kara Aleihem. Other activities which are going to result in Makos, in getting lashes, right? The third parak of Mishnayos in the Masechta Makos deals with those activities which you're going to get Makos for. So we already finished now the first Mishnah of the third parak, under the second Mishnah, and more things that are going to incur Makos. So you bring Bikurim, there's a mitzvah to bring your first fruits up to the Beis HaMikdash. We'll discuss tomorrow, really, end of today, and a lot of tomorrow, we'll discuss about the mitzvah, we'll talk about the mitzvah of Bikurim. So if you are not Kara Aleihem, there is a parsha to read, the beginning of Parshas Kisavo. So Arami Oved Avi, we're familiar with the parsha, we read it every Pesach at the Seder night. There's a parsha to read. If you read that parsha, if you don't read that parsha, and you bring the Bikurim, and the Kohanim eat it, so that's subject to a lav. Okay? You could have made the argument, which the Gemara later on will do, that reading the parsha is a mitzvah, but it's not ma'akev, right? You did the mitzvah, but our Mishnah does not agree. Our Mishnah is of the opinion that if you bring the Bikurim but you don't read the parsha, it's ma'akev, right? It's the mitzvah is not good, and the Kohen that eats the Bikurim is subject to lav, subject to malchus. Ma'akev means that it holds back the mitzvah, meaning it's a roadblock, a real roadblock in the mitzvah. If you eat Kodesh Kadashim outside the Kalayim, Kodesh Kadashim over here refers to a Chatas or Nasham, which are eaten by the Kohanim. If you eat it outside the walls of, not Yerushalayim, outside the walls of the Azara, so you're going to be subject to Malkus, even a Kohen. Kachim Kalam, Maiser Shini Chutz Achoma. If you eat Kachim Kalam is Shlamim, Toda, right, second degree kachim. So you eat any of that outside the walls of Yerushalayim, you're subject to Malkus. Same thing with Maaser Sheni as well. Maaser Sheni, the second tithing that you do in the first, second, fourth, fifth year of the Shemitah cycle, if you eat it outside of Yerushalayim, you're subject to Malkus. Hashover es ha'etzem bePesach haTahor. If you break a bone of a Karban Pesach, right, when we bring our Karban Pesach annually to the Beis HaMikdash, so the Torah says that you have to leave it whole. Etzem lo sishbu rubo, you're not allowed to break a bone of the Karban Pesach. It is a lav. It's a lav sheyesh ba maisa. Obviously, it requires you to snap the bone in order to violate this lav. If you do so, you're subject to malchus. Harei zaloka arbaim ava. The Mishnah says, on the other hand, hamoser b'tahor. If you leave over any meat from a karban, right? No sir. If you create no sir, you're not going to get malchus. There are one of two reasons why you're not going to get malchus for leaving no sir. Number one, Number one, it's a lav hanitak lase, because the Torah says that if you leave over no sir, be'esh tisrofu, so then you burn it in fire. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, it's a lav shamba maisa. There's no action in leaving over Nosar. So there are two very good reasons why you're not going to get Malkus for leaving over Nosar. Rashi, interestingly enough, Rashi goes with the Lav Hanitak Laseh, right? Even though there are two reasons. Although, we saw the last couple of days, subject to a debate. Okay, fine. Hashover Bitame. Or, if you break the bone of a Karban Pesach that didn't come out good, meaning it was disqualified for whatever reason, right? Rather, the Mishnah over here says Tameh. Okay, could be another reason also. But in other words, it's not a Kasher Karban Pesach, and you break the bone of it, you are not subject to Malkus. The Isser, the Lav, is only for a Karban Pesach, which is Kasher. Eino lo karban. Hanota ima abanim. Okay, we talked about this yesterday. If you take the mother bird, okay, Rabbi Yehuda Omer lokev eino mishaleach, Rabbi Yehuda says you're going to get Malkus, and a Chacham Emor Mishalech Vein Aloka. Rashi over here beautifully explains what the Machlokus is between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Right? Lo Sikach Ema Banim, at this point in time now, I'm probably butchering the Pasuk, you're not allowed to take the mother bird, right? The Im Tikach, and if you take it Shalech to Shalech Esaim, you should send away the mother bird. The way the Chachamim understand it, let's start with the Chachamim, even though there's second opinion. The way the Chachamim understand it, the Lo Sikach is a lav, and if you violate the lav, shalech to shalech esaim, send it away. Okay? So in other words, there's a lav and a way to rectify the lav. That's where the Chachamim understand it. Therefore, according to the Chachamim, the lav of Lo Sikach is a lav. The Shalech to Shalech is an asay after the lav. Good. So now we have a lav anitak la'asay. That's a Chachamim. What about Rabbi Yehuda? How does Rabbi Yehuda understand the Pesukim? So Rashi explains, a second to last Rashi on the page, Rashi writes, Kasavar Shalach Mi'ikara Mashma. When the Pasuk says Shalech to Shalech is aim, the Torah is telling you initially what to do. Send away the mother bird. V'inkan lav shenitak la'asay, therefore according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is not a lav anitak la'asay. The alpha gav de k'siv shalech to shalech achar lo sikach. Rashi acknowledges that the shalech to shalech is written after the lav lo sikach. Lav la'memer de'im la'kachta shalech. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not like the Torah saying, if you take it, then send it away. No. Ela lo sikach, ela shachena kodem lekicha. The shalech is your instructions when you approach the nest. Send it away. That is the way Rav Yehuda understands the Pesukim. So therefore, it's not a lav hanitak la'asei. Okay, good. All right? Wonderful. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. Amar Rabba Babachana Amar Rav Yochanan. A little Bikurim talk. And tomorrow, and at the end of today and tomorrow, we'll do a lot more Bikurim talk. Zu Devrei Rabbi Akiva Stimasa. Our Mishnah that says that if you don't do the Kriya, right, if you don't read the Parsha of Arami Avid Avi, together with bringing the Bikurim, and then the Kohen eats those Bikurim, it's a lav, right? The Bikurim are no good. Our Mishnah is like Rabbi Akiva. According to the Chachamim, however, no. Amira, the Kriya, the recital of the Parsha, is a mitzvah, but not ma'akev. Doesn't hold back the Bikurim. Bikurim is still good. In other words, you bring the Bikurim, you don't read the Parsha, it's fine. Hanacha, the placement of the Bikurim on the Mizbeach, that's ma'akev. That's an essential part of the mitzvah. If you don't do it, the Bikurim is not registered as Bikurim, inedible to the Kohanim.
But what about the case where the guy doesn't own the land? You said that he doesn't make that declaration anyway.
Right, correct. There are times when, right, absolutely correct. There are times when you don't do an Amira. We'll talk later about that at the end of this morning. Okay, v'leimazu div Rabbi Shimon stimasa. So the Gemara says also, why don't we say it's Rabbi Shimon as well? By the way, I didn't make this clear. The Gemara calls it Rabbi Kiva stimasa. Right? Not just Rabbi Akiva, but Rabbi Akiva anonymously. What does that mean? So Rashi points out that very often throughout the Mishnayos, when Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi writes the Mishnayos, so there are statements of Rabbi Akiva that he records anonymously, even though it's authored by Rabbi Akiva. Usually we say Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. Okay? There are Stam Mishnayos that are going like Rabbi Akiva, this Mishnah being one of them. Okay. The Gemara points out over here that it could be going like Rabbi Shimon as well. HaKamash Malan, the Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shimon Svirlei. So the Gemara says, you're right, it's going like Rabbi Kiva, it's going like Rabbi Shimon. My Rabbi Shimon, and now let's introduce ourselves to Rabbi Shimon. Okay, now, this Brisa that we're about to read is a long Brisa. And it's all, this entire Brisa is all the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, which will become apparently clear in just a moment. And this Brisa is focusing on one pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. Okay, Parshas Re'eh, which we read at the end of the summer, towards the end of the summer. Look at Rashi. I don't have a chumash in front of me right now. It's okay, I'll use Rashi. Look at Rashi, where it's the second wide line on the page, first wide line down on the page, where Rashi quotes a pasuk from Parshas Re'eh. You're not allowed to eat in your gates. Maaser degancha, v'siroshcha, v'yitzarecha, uv'karos bekarecha, v'tzonecha, v'chol nedarecha asher tidor, v'nidvosecha, u'trumas yadecha. Okay? In your gates, you're not allowed to eat. Maaser over here means maaser sheni, right? It has to be. Because maaser rishon can be eaten anywhere. The Meiser, Becharos is the firstborn animals which are given to the Kohanim, and that has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Chol Nidarecha, all your donations, we'll talk about what that means. Nidvosecha, more donations. And Trumas Yadecha, and your gifts of your hand. Okay? That's the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. The simple pshat on the pasuk is, these things that are listed cannot be eaten outside the walls of Yerushalayim, have to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Okay? And now watch. What Rabbi Shimon's going to do is he's going to darshan every step of the pasuk. What is Gemara is going to note on Amud Beis is that Rabbi Shimon darshans backwards. Starts with the end of the pasuk, Trumas Yadecha, and he moves backwards in the pasuk. Why does he do that? It hopefully will become clear as we go through the Braisa and the Gemara Amud Beis. Let's begin. It's a long Braisa. It's going to take up the rest of this Amud. Ditanya. Trumas Yadecha la Bikurim. Trumas Yadecha is referring to Bikurim. Amar Rabbi Shimon Ma Bazel la Lamdenu. What's the Torah teaching us over here? What do you mean? If the Torah wants to tell us that you're not allowed to eat Bikurim outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, I know that already. Because Meister Sheni, which relative to Bikurim is not as sanctified, Meister Sheni cannot be eaten outside Yerushalayim. Or my Meister, Akav, Ochlam Chutzachom Aloka, Bikurim Lo Shekein, if I'm going to get Malkus for eating Meister Sheni outside Yerushalayim, for sure I'm going to get Malkus for eating Bikurim outside Yerushalayim. Now there's a general problem over here that it sounds like we're giving Malkus based on a Kavachomer, right? Einon Shemen Adin. Right? This is a general problem. The Gemara later will raise this as an issue. Right now, we're just going to go through the Braisa. Lo kol shekein, halo b'hakosav, ela la'ocha mi bikurim asha lo kara aleim shu loke. So you know what the Torah is telling us? A chiddush when it comes to bikurim. And the chiddush is that if you eat bikurim without kriya, without reading the parsha, subject to Malkus. Even if it's a Kohen, the Kohen's going to be, not even, right, it is a Kohen, right? A Kohen's the only one allowed to eat it. If he eats the Bikurim without having stated the Kriya, without having read the Parsha, Malkus. Next, Nidvosecha. Now remember, I told you, we're darshing the Pasuk backwards, right? If you look back at the Pasuk, you'll see that next to the last thing mentioned is Trumas Yadecha. Second to last thing is Nidvosecha. Zu Toda Ushlamim. This refers to the carbon Toda and Shlamim. Toda, by the way, is really a subcategory of Shlamim. Shlamim is a general comment for all carbonos that are eaten by the owner of the carbon, together with a Kohen who gets a piece, together with the Mizbeach who also gets a piece of the animal. Right, the Imurim. So, Amar Rabbi Shimon Ma Bazel Lamdeinu Im Lachem Chutzachom Kavachomim Meiser. Halo Abakasav Ela Laocha B'Torah V'Shlamim Lifnei Zrika Shehu Loka. If the Torah is trying to tell me that if you eat Shlamim outside the walls of Yerushalayim, you get Malkus, I know that already. If I'm getting Malkus from Meiser Sheni, I'm for sure going to get Malkus for eating Kachim outside Shlamim outside the walls of Yerushalayim. Must be a further advanced Chiddush. Huh? No, just Shlamim in general. Shlamim brought by any individual.
That's Kachi Kohen, right?
Yes, that's correct. That's correct.
The individual who brings the Bikurim have to say the Maimon?
Yes, correct. Still, it's correct, but still it's an essential part of the Havasa Bikurim. Okay, so, if you bring Shlamim and you eat the Shlamim before Zrika, Zrika is a sprinkling of the blood. You take a carbon, you shech the carbon, you collect the blood in a bowl. Kabbalah Saddam. Then you bring it over to the Mizbeach, you sprinkle on the Mizbeach. You're not allowed to eat from the carbon until after sprinkling of the Mizbeach. Rabbi Shimon's learning from this pasuk in Parshas Re'eh that if you eat from the meat of the carbon before the sprinkling of the blood, that is a punishable act, punishable by Malkus. Loka. Bechoros. Now we go backwards. We're now back on Bechoros. Zua Bechor, that's referring to the firstborn animal. Am Rabbi Shimon Ma Bazel Lamdenu Im La'ochlam Chutz L'Choma. If you eat it outside the walls, Kavachomer Mimaisim Lifnei Zrika Kavachomer Mitoda. Look, we already know I can't eat it outside the walls of Yerushalayim. We already know I can't eat it before Zrika Saddam. We just learned that by Toda. So Toda Ushlamim. Halo Bahakasav Ela La'ochlam Mina Bechor Afilu Achar Zrika Shu Loka. What is coming to teach me is that if a non-Kohen eats from the Bechor animal, the Bechor goes to the Kohen. Only the Kohen can eat the Bechor. A non-Kohen cannot eat the meat of the Bechor animal, the Bechor carbon. If a non-Kohen were to eat the meat of the carbon, Malkus. Okay? Next. Bikarcha v'tzonecha. Your bakar, your animal, and your tzon, and your sheep. No, bekar is
cattle.
Your cattle and your sheep. Zuchatas v'asham. That's a reference to a carbon chatas and a carbon asham. Now, by itself, of course, doesn't mean chatas v'asham, but in the context of the pasuk, it means chatas and asham. Amar Rabbi Shimon Amar Bazel Alamdenu. Im la'ochem chutzachom akavachom imimaiser. Im lefnei zrika kavachom imitoda ushlamim. Im la'achar zrika kavachom imibachor. Look, we've already established you're not allowed to eat it outside the walls of Yerushalayim, and we already established you're not allowed to eat it before zrika zadam, and we already established that if you're a non-kohen, you're not allowed to eat it. So we need now a new chumra, a new chiddush when it comes to chatas and asham. Halo ba hakasav ella laocha mechatas va'asham afilu la'achar zrika chutz leklayim. There's a new lav. The new lav is that even if, let's say, you did the zrika, and let's say and there was a Kohen who ate it, but he ate it outside of the Azara, outside the temple courtyard, Malkus, Shehu Loke. Nidarecha, Zuola. What about Nidarecha? That's a reference to your Ola, to your Ola offering. That's Kachim Kachim, and specifically by the Ola, it's burnt on the Mizbeach in its entirety. That's the very nature and definition of a carbon Ola. Amar Rabbi Shimon Amar Bazel Alamdenu Im Lochem Chutzachom Akavachom Imimaiser Im Lefnei Zrika Kavachom Imitoh Dushlamin Im La'achar Zrika Kavachom Imibachor Im Chutzaklaim Kavachom Imichatas V'asham. We have already established four Chumras, four Chidushim. What's the next Chidush? What's the next frontier when it comes to the Ola? Halo Baha Kosav Ela La'ochel Min Ha'ola La'achar Zrika Afilu Bifnim Shu Loke. If you help yourself to even a kezayis of Ola meat, you're in the Beis HaMikdash, you're in the Azara, you sprinkle the blood, you did everything correctly. Now the mitzvah now from this point forward is to take the entire animal and put it up on the Mizbeach. If you help yourself to a little bit of kezayis of meat, you're going to get Malkus. Okay? This is Rabbi Shimon's explanation of the pasuk. So you see what happens? We're building one on top of another. We're working backwards in the pasuk, starting with Bikurim. We have a chiddush by Bikurim, and we just keep adding one chiddush on top of another chiddush. Okay. Good. Now, first, a beautiful comment about Rabbi Shimon. I'm a Rava. Diyalida ime, if you see a mother ready to give birth, Rabbi Shimon. So what you should pray to God for is that she has a child like Rabbi Shimon. And then v'ilo lo solid. And if the child is not going to be like Rabbi Shimon, it's not even worth it to have the baby. Now, how... Okay, it was such a beautiful statement. The second part of the statement, I don't know, maybe maybe we should temper it a little bit. I'm not really sure what to do with it. Okay, so, but what it is, however, if I may, it's like a little bit of sugar before the medicine, right? Because what we're going to do now is we're going to really analyze and attack Rabbi Shimon and everything he just did within that pasuk. So although the Gemara acknowledges the brilliance of Rabbi Shimon and the creativity of Rabbi Shimon, truth be told, is that in what he did with that pasuk is not really true. It doesn't really work. Because what he did is he built one on top of another, assuming he started off with Bikurim, right? And he added on to Bikurim. What was the next one after Bikurim? He added Shlamim. Right? Torah and Shlamim. That only works if you assume that Torah and Shlamim is totally more stringent than Bikurim. There's nothing about Bikurim that would make it more stringent than Torah and Shlamim. And so therefore you could build Torah and Shlamim on top of Bikurim. Okay? And Rav is going to point out, you can't do that.
It's a questionable hierarchy.
Right, exactly. Exactly. The whole hierarchy that Rabbi Shimon created, Rav is going to say, does not really work. Okay? And he's going to deconstruct Rabbi Shimon every step of the way. So it's going to be a total deconstruction of Rabbi Shimon. And before he does that, he just wants all of us to understand, Rabbi Shimon's brilliant. So, right? Brilliant.
And you can't do it after when it's too
right. So
fixing down is not going to do it.
Right, exactly, exactly.
We're
right.
Talking about different instances where you get malchus for in the performance of different mitzvahs.
Right.
Does it nullify the mitzvah?
So, in the case of Bikurim, it seems to be the answer is yes. Meaning, in this. Right. Let's say it like this. By Chatzos and Asham, correct. Meaning, the whole purpose of a Chatzos and Asham is I achieve some sort of kapara. Right? If the Kohanim are not able to eat it, because let's say they ate it outside the walls of Yerushalayim, right? I don't get a kapara. It would seem like by Chatzos and Asham, I'd have to bring it again. By a shlomim, I'm not sure if I would go that far. Meaning you brought the shlomim, and now it was eaten. It was eaten inappropriately. I'm not sure if it really undoes the whole carbon. I'm not sure. Chatzos and Asham, I can make the argument as I just did.
Unless you made a neder yet.
Okay, so let's go through this now. A total deconstruction of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, total. I have questions that I can ask on Rabbi Shimon, and he goes ahead and he just goes right forward. So on one hand, you're right. The Bikurim is more chomer than Meister Sheni. I'm sorry, really our starting point is Meister Sheni. Okay? That's really the baseline, right? And you pointed out that Bikurim is more chomer. And it's true. Bikurim is more chomer. But on the other hand, Adraba, Meister Chamer Shekein Asur La'onein. On the other hand, Meister Sheni has a chumra that you don't find by Bikurim, an onein. One who loses one of his relatives is not allowed to eat Meister Sheni. How do I know this? Lo achalti ba'oni mimeni. I did not eat it while I was in a state of being an onein. For that one day that you lost your relative, you're not allowed to eat Meister Sheni. You're an onein that day. Lo achalti ba'oni. That's a chumra by Meister Sheni that you don't have by Bikurim. Oh. So now you see that you can't build Bikurim on top of Meister Sheni because you have a chumra by Meister Sheni that you don't have by Bikurim. Well, my chumra, and then he's just going to keep going forward and destroy every step of the hierarchy. Well, my chumra, the Torah Shlomi, my Meister Sheni came to an amat and damen. The imurim, legabe mizbeach. So on one hand, it's true. By Torah, my Shlomim, there's a part of it that goes onto the Mizbeach. The blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach. And the Imurim, the insides, the intestines, the fats, are sent up on the Mizbeach. All that's true, but still, Adrabba, Meister Chamer Shekein to an Inkesev Tzura. You have a Chumer by Meister Sheni, which is that when you redeem your Meister Sheni, it has to be in a minted coin. It has to be in a minted coin. The Pasuk says, Vitzarta HaKesev Biadecha. And we learn out from that pasuk, Rashi brings down that the coin has to be a minted coin. So there's a chumrah by Meister Sheni. My chumrah de bechor mito de shlamim, and we're just going to keep going. Bechor is more stringent than Torah and shlamim shekein kedusha somerechem. So I know why bechor is more kadosh, because the bechor, when does it become holy, sanctified? Even before it came into this world, in utero, you know that the mother's giving birth. The mother's going to give birth to assuming it's a male. That's a bechor. And that animal now has kedusha, and that kedusha existed even before it was born. Fine. On the other hand, your toda and your shlamim have chumras that you don't have by the bechor. Resting your hands on the head of the animal, libations, the oil and the wine, the waving of the chest and the foreleg of the animal, all these things are part and parcel of Tod and Shlamim and do not exist by Bechor. Okay? So you have a Chomra of the Tod and Shlamim over the Bechor. Now, again, Chatas and Hashem, Rabbi Shimon assumed, goes above Bechor, and it's a fair assumption because it's Kachik Kachim. It is a higher level carbon. It can only be in the Azara, in the temple courtyard. On the other hand, a Bechor is Kadosh from the moment it's born. You can't say that by a Chatas, you can't say that by an Hashem. It's only Kadosh when declared to be Kaddish, when someone sanctifies it. Okay. And again, you put Ola on top of Achatas and Asham. because it's burnt entirely on the Mizbeach. And I understand that. On the other hand, Adarabah Chatas Rasham Chamir Shekeh Mechapre. On the other hand, a Chatas and Hashem is there to serve as a kapara. It's there to achieve atonement for the owner. And that's special and unique by Chatas and Hashem. And that's not true by an Ola. An Ola does not provide a kapara. So Vekulu Chamir Meola Disbush Seachilos. And in fact, Ola on one hand is eaten by the Mizbeach. On the other hand, all the other karbanos, your chatas, your asham, your todi, your shlamim, all your other karbanos have two consumers, one being the Mizbeach, and the other being the owners of the animal, and the kohanim. So we've totally deconstructed the entire argument to Rabbi Shimon. So now let's go back to Rava's compliment. If you're going to have a child, so make sure the child's like Rabbi Shimon, all right? And if not, don't have a child. Again, the second half, it's rough. So the right, right. Ella, my dealida ime ke Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, so what was the compliment based on exactly after Rava totally deconstructed the argument? The brilliance of Rabbi Shimon is that he was well aware of the fact that this only works if you went backwards. Meaning what he did successfully, even though I have questions on how it actually played out, is that he realized that in order to decode the pasuk correctly, you can't do it from the front to the back, because the front of that pasuk deals with an ola and a chatas and an asham, and I can't do that. I have to work backwards, starting with Bikurim, starting really with Maaser Sheni, then going back to Bikurim, then doing Todah and Shlamim, and then and only then can I build one on top of another. Now, Rabbi says, I have questions, but put my questions aside for just a moment. Just realize that the brilliance was in the fact that he went backwards and not forwards. And that's where Rabbi Shimon really demonstrated his brilliance.
Question.
Yeah.
How could Rava as an Amora challenge him?
What you can do is he arguing with him halachically? I don't know, but he's just challenging him in terms of the kavachomer and the structure and what he's saying. But in terms of halacha, either he's not right, he's not disagreeing with him halachically. If there's another Tana that disagrees with Rabbi Shimon, which we'll see more of this morning, that's one thing. Okay.
Why did he do it that way? It says he tells him to swear.
Why did who? Why did
Rashi go backwards?
Well, so again, Rashi explains it very simply that you could not have done that building one on top of another had you gone forwards, because you're starting with the most stringent, and then you can't build on top of that. So he realizes that you start with the less stringent, and then you move backwards.
Yeah, but you're arriving at a faulty conclusion.
Well, only because Rabbi Shimon assumed that it was that. Todah and Shlamim totally surpasses Bikurim, which Rava demonstrates is not absolutely true. Okay, that's all.
Is Maaser Sheni the only thing that you can change for Kesef?
Yeah, you can redeem it for Kesef. Okay, general question the Gemara now asks, I raised this earlier, V'chi Mazir Min Adin. What are we doing over here? We're making a lav based on a Kavachomer. You can't do that. Right, there is an opinion that we saw earlier in our parak, Rabbi Yitzchak, if I can remind everybody. Right, there is an opinion that says that you can punish somebody based on a kal v'chomer, but ein mazir min adin. But everybody agrees to create an iser, you can't do that based on a kal v'chomer. So the Gemara says isur ba'alma. Well, maybe what Rabbi Shimon's doing is not saying you're going to get malchus. Maybe what Rabbi Shimon is simply saying is that there is an isser. There is a prohibition, but not with the punishment of malchus. Maybe that's what Rabbi Shimon is saying. The Gemara says, I don't know. The Hama Rav Zarsha Acham and Naola Lefnei Zrika Chutzachom Ala Rabbi Shimon Loke Chamesh. Rav says, you know, if you put Rabbi Shimon together, Rav obviously was just keyed in, locked into this teaching of Rabbi Shimon. Rava asked questions, which we just went through in almost an entire Amud discussing. And now Rava says, now if you take Rava to his logical conclusion, if you are a non-Kohen and you eat a piece of carbon ola before the zrika outside the walls of Yerushalayim, you're subject to 5 sets of lashes, right? Which, again, if you follow the teaching of Rabbi Shimon, you understand every one of the lashes, right? It's an ola, which means that you're not allowed to eat it. It was before zrika, that's another lav. It's outside the walls of Yerushalayim, that's another lav. You're not a kohen, that's another lav. That's 4.
Just eating from a lav.
Well, right.
All at all.
Eating all at all? I thought I counted that.
You didn't say that.
Well, I mean, it's on tape, so like we can go back and we can replay the tape and we can find out if I said that or not. Okay. Outside the Azara. Okay, outside the Azara plus outside the walls of Yerushalayim. Okay, fine. So that's 5. So, why is that 2? Because once for the kachi kalim to be eaten outside the walls of Yerushalayim, and then once for the higher level carbon, which the ola is, to be eaten outside the walls of the Azara. Okay. Fine. Let's keep focused over here. So let me keep focused. Lem the Rabbi Shimon loke chamesh chamisha isurim havu. So the Gemara says what Rava meant is not that you're going to get malchus, but that there are 5 isurim. That's what Rava meant. The Hanan Tanan, the Gemara again says, I don't think so. We learned back in our Mishnah, Elu Hain Halokin. Right? We learned in our Mishnah, this is what you're going to get malchus for, meaning, look, you can take Rabbi Shimon out of context. But our Mishnah, we're learning the Mishnayos in the 3rd parak of Malchus. The whole point of our Mishnayos is to tell us when you're going to get lashes. So if one of the things mentioned in our Mishnah is the idea that if you eat Bikurim without reading the Parsha, you're going to get Malchus. And you can't learn our Mishnah, well, our Mishnah is just talking about Isser. It's not, of course it's talking about Malchus. That's the whole purpose of the Mishnah. Ella, Kray Yiserehu. So the Gemara says, you're right. And again, the question, it's a general question. How can we learn out all these lavin and all these Isurim based on an argument, on a kavachomer? So the Gemara says, I'll cry Yiserehu. Mechtik siva avesa shama achat pufnei Hashem alkecha bamakom. Lichtov rachmano lo sucha la'ochlam. All the Torah had to have said is, don't eat them. Don't eat anything that we just talked about. But then mihader mefarsh b'hu rachmana lamali. But then the Torah goes through the whole pasuk from the beginning, right? Lo suchal le'achol b'sharecha masa deganecha v'sirosh chavitzarecha. And we just, the Torah repeats all these things. What with the repetitive nature? Ela liyichud elohu lavei l'cholchad v'chad. The reason why the Torah goes out and repeats itself after it already specified all these things is to tell me that there's a lav in eating any one of these things under the conditions that Rabbi Shimon gave. outside the walls of Yerushalayim, outside the Azara, before the Zrika, eating a piece of Ola, etc., etc. Okay. Gufa. Amar Rav Zasha Chaman Olaf, Nezrika Chotza Chaman, Rabbi Shimon Loke Chamesh. Okay, we're just going to, the Gemara is going to do this, Gemara does this often, it's going to tie up a lot of loose ends. Right, Rava says that according to Rabbi Shimon, if you're a non-Kohen and you eat a piece of Ola outside of Yerushalayim, you're subject, before the sprinkling of the blood, you're subject to 5 sets of lashes. Here the Gemara is going to really dot its I's and cross every T. So we have another pasuk mentioned back in Parshas Tetzaveh, where the Torah says a non-Kohen cannot eat it because it's Kodesh. And why don't you receive lashes for that? That pasuk is only talking about food which was fit to be eaten by a Kohen and a non-Kohen ate it. Ola, which is what we're talking about over here, is never fit to be eaten by anybody. Therefore, that pasuk does not cover Ola. Next. You're not allowed to eat meat when it's outside. Here, once the meat is brought outside, it falls under this pasuk. So, it should be aser. And again, the Gemara is now wondering, why don't you get malchus for that pasuk? Same answer. That pasuk is only talking about meat, which could have been eaten in the at one point in time. This meat, which is the meat of an olam, which never could have been eaten, is not subject to that love. One more. And we have another drasha, another pasuk that talks about not eating from the ola. Hani mili hecha de konim psulo chaze. Hacha de konim psulo nami lo chaze. Same answer. That drasha, Rabbi Eliezer, is only going on kachim, on carbon, that at one point in time could have been eaten. Here we're talking about ola, never eligible to be eaten, therefore this pasuk doesn't cover it. One more. The Lilki Nami Ki Idech the Rabbi Eliezer to Tanya. There's another drush of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer Amar Koshu Bekaloti Ye Litain Losase Alachila Sol. So we have a pasuk that says Kalilti Ye. You must totally destroy it. And right, the Torah tells us that something that needs to be totally destroyed is not, you're not allowed to eat it, which obviously includes an ola. According to Rava, you should get another set of malchus. En achinami. The Gemara says you're right, but you're really taking Rava out of context. Rava mehakra kamar. Rava was only saying, based on that one pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, I can generate five separate lavin. Meaning you're right. There is other psukim throughout other parts of Chumash that indicate that there's another lav attached to this act. That's right, but Rava was just simply making the point that if you understand Rabbi Shimon well, and you understand how Rabbi Shimon darshans that pasuk, you'll now arrive at the conclusion that according to Rabbi Shimon, if you eat ola outside of Yerushalayim, before the zrika, before the sprinkling of the blood, you're subject to five sets of lashes, period. That's all Rava's saying. And Rava was not looking at a global perspective of the Torah, he was just looking at it from that one limited perspective.
If you're not allowed to eat ola, how could you even worry about zrika?
Well, because you're right. Meaning, you know, it's the act is prohibited. It's just that there's another lav attached to it. It's really a super technical discussion. Because you're right, it's already a prohibited act. Just with now we know that according to Rabbi Shimon, another lav is attached to it. Good. Amar Rav Gidol, Amar Rav.
He's not going to get five sets of malchus because he can't take it, right?
Correct.
What is it? Like,
we'll go up to how.
This is for this, this is for that. So will they give him only three for this and three for that? And three for. Give him one.
It's a fair question. Later on, we'll say that we'll learn that while he's getting lashed, someone's there reading the pasuk that he violated. So in this case, I guess he gets a long break between each one of the lashes. I'm jesting. I'm not sure if I'm serious, but right, he'll get a long break between each lashes because here in this particular case, he violated many lavin. So between each lash, you know. He'll get like, you know, a pause as he's hearing now all the psukim that he violated. Okay. He's allowed to eat, but before Zrika, it's a lav. Outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, it's also a lot. Okay. I'm Rav Gidol Amarav, Kohen Shaacha Mechatos Vashem of Nezrika Loke. Rav Gidol Amarav says that if a Kohen eats from the Karban Chatos or from the Karban Hashem, before the Zrika, before the sprinkling of the blood, you're subject to Malchus. My time and Amar Krav, Achlu Asam Asher Kupar Bahem. La'acher Kapari In Lefne Kapar Olam. Lava Bamechlase, Lavu. Okay. Another big topic in the third parak of Malchus, and that is the topic of lava ba mechlalase, right? Inferential reading in the Chumash. We do it all the time. The Torah says regarding our Kohanim that they eat chatas and they eat the asham. That's what they're supposed to do. And it provides kapara for the one who brings the chatas and who brings the asham. Good. And if let's say it's not the Kohanim that eat it, let's say it's the Kohanim that eat it, but they eat it at, they eat it before the Zrika. So, no. It's not yet Mechupar. It's not yet achieved any type of atonement. And therefore, they're not allowed to eat it. But that we only see inferentially. The Torah, all the Torah says is, Ve'achlu osam asher kupar bahem. You, Kohanim, you can eat the Chatas after Kapara. After the sprinkling of the blood. And now, by inference, we're seeing in the Pasuk, if they eat it before a kapara, no, that's no good. This is what we call lav haba mechlal asay. This is a negative prohibition, but the Torah never says don't. The Torah just simply says do, and based on a simple inferential reading, we understand what you shouldn't be doing. Okay, now, let's be clear, because the first way the Gemara presents it, the Gemara says, you know what that is? That's a lav. Okay, it's not. Now, God forbid I should say something that directly opposes the Gemara, but you'll see, right, as we go through the entire Gemara, that is the conclusion. It's not a lav. It's an assay. It is a positive commandment. Not that we ignore the inferred statement. We don't ignore it. But it's not a lav. It's not a lav. It's still an assay. He's not going to get Malchus. Okay, and again, what I just said went smacked up against the Gemara. So just wait as we go through the rest of the Gemara. Okay, this is what's called lav haba mechlal asay. And the Fnei Kapara law. Lava Bamaklase, Lava, fine. Mace of Rava. So Rava immediately challenges what he just heard. V'chol behema mafresis parts of a shorsa shesa, shtei prasos ma'alegera bebehema osa tochelu. Okay? The Torah tells us what's a kosher animal. Kosher animal is one that chews its cud and has split hooves. And the Torah says, osa tochelu. Those animals you eat. So you eat your cow, you eat your sheep, right? They do that. They have split hooves and they chew their cud. Inferentially, we already know that if you have an animal that doesn't exhibit these qualities, you're not allowed to eat that. Good. Why does the Torah then need to go and tell us what we can't eat? I know that already. The inferential reading should have been sufficient. And it's not. The Torah has to go out of its way to tell us that you can't eat. So the Gemara says, you're right. We're going to reverse the entire statement. Ela itmar hachi itmar. Okay? So now we're going to go with what is the conclusion. Amar of Gidol, Amar of Zarsha, Chamichatus, Vashem, Lefnei Zrika, Pater. You don't get Malchus. My time, Adam, Krav, Achlu, Osam, Asher, Kubabahem, Kol, Hecha, De, Karina, Be, Vachlu, Osam, Asher, Kubabahem, Karina, Be, Vizar, Lo, Yachal. Kodesh. V'chol hecha de lo karinan be v'achlu osam asher kupar bahem lo karinan be v'zar lo yochal. Okay. It's a lav haba mechlal asay. It is not a lav. It's not a negative prohibition. You're not going to get malchus. It's prohibited. You're not allowed to do it. The kohen is not allowed to eat the chatas and the asham before the zrika, but not subject to malchus. Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Hoshea. Good. We are now going to finish up this morning, as forecasted, with a discussion on Bikurim. Okay. Bikurim hanacha ma'akeves bahem, kriya ein ma'akeves bahem. Bikurim is bringing the fruit up in the basket up to Yerushalayim. What is essential? What do you need to do with Bikurim? So according to Rav Elazar, who quotes in the name of Hoshea, you need to put it on the Mizbeach. Essential. Reading the Parsha, not essential. Not essential. You do it because the Torah says to do it, but not essential. Okay. A little bit of background information over here. Okay. Bikurim is when you bring the fruit. The fruits grow. I'm going to sound like I know what I'm talking about. Okay. This is now, we're in the world of agriculture. I don't know what I'm talking about. But the fruits start growing in the fall, right, around Sukkot time, and finish right around Hanukkah time. Okay? If you pick up a fruit, and you bring it to Yerushalayim, anywhere between Sukkot and... From Shavuos to Sukkot, which is basically the entire summertime, you bring the fruit and you read the Parsha. Okay? What makes that time so special? Because Rashi brings down, the Pasuk says, V'samachta b'chol hatov. You're going to be happy with all that's good. And from Shavuos into Sukkot, that's a time of Simcha. I kind of smile when I read this Rashi, because We're about to start Shivas Abitamas on Tuesday and Monday night, and we have the 3-week period. And here in South Florida, the summer is not exactly the happiest time of year, right? We have the blistering heat, we have the hurricane season. Okay. But where we ought to be, right, in Yerushalayim. So from Shavuos until Sukkot, although in Beit Shemesh, I will admit, it is painfully hot. but from Shavuos until Sukkot, that's v'samachta b'chol tov, that's Zman Simcha. And it really is Zman Simcha because that's the time when you harvest. You take your fruit in, right, you have now something in your house to show for all the work that you did in the field over the course of the year. Fine. If you bring Bikurim any time during the summer, so you read. You read from the Parsha. If, however, you delay, and you bring it from any time from Sukkot until Chanukah, so you don't read. Right? Mevi ve'enu kore. Right? This is straight out of the one of the first Mishnayos in Bikurim. Good. Okay? So, now that we know all that, so let's quickly go through this. Hamar Rebbe Lazar, Hamar Rebbe Oshia. Hifrish Bikurim Kodem Lachak. You bring Bikurim. Sorry, you set it aside before Sukkot. Okay? V'avar aleim achak. And then afterwards, Sukkot comes and goes. Yir kavu. The halacha, according to Rabbi Elazar, let it rot. Let it rot. Because, it's a shame. Because what happened? You set it aside before Sukkot. Which means that those are special bikurim. Bikurim that are brought to the Beis HaMikdash, and one in which you're supposed to read the Parsha. But now what happened is you delayed. And now it's after Sukkot. And now you lose that opportunity to read. So Rabbi Lazar says, so now what? Let it rot. There's nothing you can do. What do you see from the statement of Rabbi Lazar? What you see is something very clear. Reading is an essential part of the mitzvah. Because once you lost that ability to read, you can no longer bring the Bikurim. It's clear. It's clear as day that that is what Rabbi Lazar is saying. So, but that smacks against what Rabbi Lazar said just a moment ago. Because what Rabbi Lazar said just a moment ago is that reading is not that essential. Okay? So we are at odds, one statement of Rabbi Lazar against another.
So if you didn't have to be Kurim until Sukkot, you can still bring it without an effort.
Correct. So my love, Mishum de Lamatzi, Lamekri Alayem, V'Isakadacha, Kriya Ima, Kevas Behem, Amai Yir Kavu. So the Gemara over here gives a fundamental answer, and with this we'll end with this morning. Kid Rabbi Zera Damer Rabbi Zera Kol Aroy LaBila in Bila Ma'akevas Bo V'Chein She'ein Aroy LaBila Bila Ma'akevas Bo. So the Gemara says the difference between potential and actual, right? Okay, quickly. When you bring a carbon mincha, so you have to bring flour mixed with oil. Flour mixed with oil, the Chachamim realize that if you have 60 parts flour to 1 point oil, right, 60 to 1, we love that ratio, 60 to 1, so it will mix together well. If you don't have that ratio of 60 to 1, let's say you have 61 parts flour to 1 part oil, it doesn't mix well. What you need to do is that if you bring such a mincha offering, you need to take 60, put it in one vessel, take the one, put in another vessel, or if you'd like to distribute it more evenly, 30 and 31, that's also fine. And then you have to add oil to each one. Okay? And that is the halacha regarding mincha. Do you actually need to mix the flour and the oil together? No. No. You don't actually need to mix it together. But it has to be mixable. Not an English word, I know that. But it has to be mixable, blendable. Okay? The potential has to be there. And it's the same thing with the Bikurim, right? Mm-hmm. If I have the potential to read it, that's enough. Once I lose that potential, then I lost the mitzvah. Rabbi Lazar says, when you bring the Bikurim up to Yerushalayim, and you bring it in the summer, it's not a ma'akev, right? You could have read it, you should have read it, but it's not a ma'akev. If, however, you separate it during the summer, and then you decide, I'll bring it after Sukkot, you lost your potential. That's different. Once you lost your potential, now you lost the mitzvah opportunity. Okay? Based on what Rabbi Zera taught us. All right, we'll stop over here. Good. We're almost all caught up. That's exciting. We'll continue tomorrow with more Bikurim discussion.